Hello, and this is Diane with the second half of the This Conversation Rocks retrospective, 2015 retrospective.
And hey, this is Todd in Los Angeles, and this is episode 2016-02.
Which is somewhere around 24-25, right?
Something like that.
Maybe. Okay.
I'm just going to renumber them just like Microsoft, just for the hell of it.
Just don't do what Apple did and, like, renumber them and then make everything crash and not work together, so.
Well, that would just be normal. That would be normal. All right, so, yeah, I think you were saying that we left off on episode 11, bullying in the workplace.
We did. So, I thought that was another good episode with valuable information. I don't have a ton more to add, except for me, this year is going to be about letting go of those things that no longer serve me.
Yeah.
And some of that is dramatic workplace change.
Yeah, I hear you. It's good. You know, my life is good. I've got a great boss.
I don't know. Sometimes he gets a little too uptight.
That may be true, but he doesn't bully anybody, so.
You know, and I mean, I think I said it in the bullying in the workplace episode, and I have to confess again, I mean, I know there are times I am really difficult to work with, but I also feel like some of it is that people just don't get my sense of humor. So kind of hoping to find a balance there.
Yeah, well, that's always a problem. That is always a problem. But I would like to go ahead and say there is bullying in the workplace, and then there is armed occupation in the workplace.
You wouldn't be by any chance referring to Oregon?
Yeah, as far as I know, those idiots are still there, right?
I think they are, yep.
Oh, God.
And you know, there have been a lot of points made, and this is way off the topic of bullying in the workplace, but if they were not white, right-leaning gun owners, don't you think their asses would have been rounded up and hauled off to jail by now?
You know, there's a lot of things that way, but I've been kind of thinking of it slightly different, right? If these other actions, these other terrorist actions had actually been armed standoffs, occupations,
mm-hmm.
You know, instead of gunning down people in San Bernardino, if they had just occupied the building, I do believe that the government would be acting pretty much in the same way.
Just kind of that hands off.
Right. You know, let's let it diffuse and sort itself out, because, I mean, they're trying desperately to avoid situations like Waco and Ruby Ridge.
Sure.
Which, by the way, doesn't mean I think that these guys have any right to do what they're doing. I completely think that they are in the wrong for occupying federal buildings, you know, with under arms. I think that probably it's just a matter of prudence. If I do believe that if for any reason anybody involved, any authority thought that there was a very high likelihood of casualties or anything, it would be different as well. But these guys seem pretty content to just sit around and act like idiots. And apparently go drink all the money raised through the social media programs.
Oh, that's excellent. I hadn't caught up with that.
There's several stories, and of course these are very hard to pin down because
sure. There's nobody inside.
And it's not official. It's certainly not getting covered by official media in any meaningful way other than, you know, I tend to see everything kind of pointing back to the same original places, which I'm not sure are legitimate. But yeah, there's allegations that some of these guys portrayed themselves as being ex-special forces and stuff, never in the military. Other things where, you know, these guys got angry and they took all the money and they went and drank and then went home. So certainly the whole Twitter feed from those guys saying, you know, please send us snacks didn't make them look like they knew what the hell they were doing.
But it sure has led to some hilarious stuff online, hasn't it?
Yeah, so I don't know if you saw this one. This was my favorite one. They are now desperately pleading that people stop sending them dildos.
I love that. In fact, I have actually talked to some of my girlfriends about taking up a collection and sending them more dildos. It somehow seems so appropriate.
Because, I mean, you know, I think this does tie back to bullying in the workplace. I'm just not sure who's bullying who here.
Well, you know, and I do respect what you're saying about not creating a situation like Waco or Ruby Ridge. You know, I definitely think that is a reasonable reason to take a hands-off approach. Well, one more thing before we let go of bullying in the workplace, and this has more to do with Waco, but I just want to give a shout out about a really great book that was written several years ago. I actually took a comparative religions class from this guy when I was going to school in Connecticut. His name is Gene Gallagher, and he wrote a book called Why Waco that was a very good investigation of the standoff. So if anyone's interested in reading about more about Waco, it was a great read.
Absolutely, and there's a book that I've read from a former FBI hostage negotiator who was there for a while before the authorities decided to go a different direction. And I thought that was also really insightful. So
cool. Yeah, and you know, I mean, there is a possibility we're going to be seeing more and more of this kind of stuff. So
yeah, you know, it's hard to say exactly. I think that people are scared, but they're scared for the wrong reasons. They're scared
absolutely.
Scared because of the news and the Donald and the news caused by the Donald. That kind of nonsense and everything. These guys in Oregon, you know, I mean, they feel like they have a complaint. However, the people that they're complaining on behalf of have basically said, no, we want nothing to do with these guys. So, I just want to point out, though, that we're not going to come take your guns. We're not going to come take your civil liberties.
You know, I'm still trying to convince people of that, and I am failing. So,
because right. They don't need to take your civil liberties because they've already got the authority to spy on your ass every time you get online anyway.
Hey, NSA, how you doing?
Fuck you.
So, episode 12, that was the Lost Bob episode. So I'm going to let you take that one because I wasn't there. That was after the fire. So we did the bullying in the workplace, and then our house burned down, and my life kind of fell apart. And yeah, he pinch hitted. Is that a word?
Hit. No, it's just pinch hit.
He pinch hit for one episode. So hey, Bob.
Pinched hit. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway,
he helped us out.
Right. That was on sports, and what we were really talking about though was not, you know, sports and. Go team go or anything.
No, but you were talking about the politics of FIFA.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
And it's interesting because, of course, here in L.A., the L.A. Rams are moving back to L.A. And I'm not clear what the stadium deal is going to cost us, but I guarantee it'll cost us something.
Sure.
And I just... Why the fuck did we want a losing sports franchise? We've already got the Lakers. We could do this without any effort. I mean, what the fuck? You know, and then maybe the Chargers are going to come, right? But that's a whole other deal. And if the Chargers refuse, then maybe the Raiders will come. And again, that would be a whole other deal. But I mean, it's like, so San Diego is going to lose some jobs and some revenue and everything just because... Spanos is a greedy fuck. St. Louis is going to lose, but I got to tell St. Louis I don't really give a fuck that you're losing because you took the Rams from LA in the first place. It's the thing, right? Is that all this nonsense continues?
I'm only laughing because, you know, I follow a little bit of football, so I know that this is all football related. And boy, it sounds like football in California has the potential to get even more complicated. But.
No, it's really simple. It's really simple. We still won't have a franchise that can win. So, it's all right. We'll be just like we were always. Can't win. But yeah, speaking of FIFA, I know that Seth Blatt has been forced out completely. So, you know, they're trying to clean themselves up, and they got a long way to go. And the U.S. has said that they're going to continue to prosecute several of these guys. So that's all cool.
It's lost on me. I just think that anytime you can hold someone accountable for bad behavior, it's not a bad idea.
Well, it's just this whole thing of the level of corruption in FIFA, but the International Olympic Committee is not much better. You know, the IOC, what they want people to do in order for you to be able to host an Olympics is pretty amazing. And why any country would agree to it is beyond me. And this is one of the things, because, and again, this is important to the people of LA, because we are considering bidding on an Olympics.
I'm just thinking about really impoverished countries like, you know, Brazil is getting ready to host an Olympics.
Well, you should see what Brazil did for the World Cup, right?
Well, and I see some of the horrible things, like, you know, they go through and just clean out slums and arrest people, and I've even heard allegations of killing people, and...
Yeah, absolutely, you know. And there was, and they built a bunch of soccer stadiums throughout Brazil, including many places where people actually don't live, or, you know, so these stadiums are going to go empty now.
Or, and you've stolen food from people's mouths, so you can have soccer stadiums.
You know, I understand, and it's always been bread and circuses for the masses and everything, and believe me, I enjoy a good football game as much as anybody, but you really have to understand what the cost is for dealing with these guys. And, you know, in the NFL, so here's the thing that really, here's a couple of other things about the NFL that I've learned since the time we did this, and, you know, these, again, things piss me off. Something like 90% of the money generated during their breast cancer awareness month does not go to breast cancer research.
That somehow does not surprise me.
And you know all those military parades, flybys, halftime shows that the NFL's been doing for the last several years? You know, if you watch, anybody who watches...
I was going to say, so I watch so little football that no, but I take your word for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it turns out that the NFL is being paid by the Department of Defense to do these things.
That's being paid by the
Yes.
Oh, God.
Exactly, right? So, I mean, it's like... So let me see. These tributes to our veterans are actually bullshit.
Even our non-football fans are paying for these bullshit tributes.
Right. That the NFL uses to make themselves look ultra-patriotic, good guys, support the troops and stuff. But if they weren't getting paid, they wouldn't be supporting the troops. It's that simple. They wouldn't give a shit. Except for the fact that the DOD pays them to give a shit. That is truly offensive.
Yeah, I agree.
So, fuck the NFL.
You know, and on the continuing idea of fuck the NFL, I just want to point out, and this goes back to some of our episodes about the war on women, and it goes forward to the episode that we're hopefully going to get out this week about abortion. The Super Bowl is one of the highest areas for sex trafficking, or highest events for sex trafficking on the planet.
What?
Yeah, oh, seriously. So one of the, and I don't think that every person who chooses to work in the sex industry is part of a trafficking ring. I actually think that there are people who really do choose that, and that's their business if they do. But a lot of people... I don't even know a lot of people. I can't quote a good number, so I should be fair. But there are people who are trafficked. There are people who are forced into sex work. And wherever the Super Bowl gets held, women specifically get imported in to be sex workers in that area while the event's going on.
Nice.
So there is evidence to show that it's really a huge part of sex trafficking rings.
So again,
fuck the NFL. Well,
here's the other thing. They talk about all the money that a Super Bowl brings in, but when you look at the money that actually stays in the local community, it's almost nothing. And people say, well, what do you mean by that? It's because hotels are actually owned by national chains, restaurants are owned by national chains, all this stuff, right? If you go to the Super Bowl and you go to Applebee's,
you're not paying for the local Applebee's.
Right. You know, I mean, yes, those people, the wait staff is getting a job because of it and stuff, but any of the profit doesn't stay in the community.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it for the sports episode, the Bob episode, right?
Right. It's yeah. Again,
it's just lots of corruption.
And the stuff does matter, and people don't necessarily think about it that way. And in no way am I saying that you shouldn't enjoy sports or anything like that. I'm just saying that we should be aware of what our politicians are pushing. You know, and who's going to make money out of it, and what the claims are versus the accuracy of those claims.
It's consequences. We've got to decide whether or not we're willing to pay the consequences.
And I got to be honest, last comment, and this is mostly for Los Angeles, but I would just say, why the fuck do we want another Olympics? we don't have enough insanity here that we don't need. Yeah, we want another 2 weeks of absolute gridlock, unable to get anywhere, blah, 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 just so what?
Okay, you know. So last comment from me, but the Olympics just don't feel like what they used to feel like, do they? They were kind of exciting and cool when I was a kid. It doesn't feel that way anymore.
Right, but they were, you know, the... Okay, so this, again, just totally my opinion, right? But when we were a kid, right, they were the Cold War. Right? That was how we fought the Cold War, right? It was the United States and our allies against the evil Soviet bear.
That's fair. I can see that.
And their bitches. like these Germans. Truly, it was all that. And the other thing, though, is that our concept of sports has evolved. We're far more interested in the X Games than we are in the Olympics. If ice skating didn't exist in the Winter Olympics and gymnastics didn't exist in the Summer Olympics,
they probably wouldn't get watched. I think that's
United States wouldn't watch much.
Yeah.
Other countries might, but...
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done with sports. Are you done with sports?
Yeah, other than the why is it that we're so interested in, you know, young girls and their gymnastic abilities, but...
Ew.
Yeah, well, exactly. You can edit that part out.
No, I'm not going to edit that part out. I'm going to elaborate, you know, because the other thing that's really kind of squicky about all of that, and squicky is a Dan Savage term, stole it, thanks, Dan. All of those girls look prepubescent.
Yes.
And many of the ice skaters are the same.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at the early tapes of Michelle Kwan and Michelle Kwan's early wins in the, quote, women's ice skating world, she was not a woman by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
So, ugh.
Yeah. So there's a whole other side to that, I'm sure.
We're just going down a dark path.
2015 in the rear view.
There you go. So
big black hole.
So 13, episode 13 got better. That was rainbows. That was the big gay glittery episode where we got to celebrate the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to enact marriage equality into law,
along with Ireland's legalization at the right around the same time, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of movement, not just in the U.S. but internationally as well. So that was super cool.
Unfortunately, just like everything apparently that's ever been decided by the Supreme Court, if we don't like it, we'll keep trying to litigate it.
Right.
You know, we have at least a couple of states right now who are trying to make the case that somehow they're exempt from the Supreme Court decision.
So you brought it up. I'm going to kind of let you talk about him, but Judge Roy Moore, Alabama, right?
Right, the leading contender on a monthly basis for fuck that guy.
Equal only to Ted Cruz and Donald Trump.
Yeah, the thing is that, like, realistically, right now...
Roy Moore's got more power.
Far more power,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the state, of the great state of Alabama.
And just to remind people, this is also the guy who legislated whether or not we should have the Ten Commandments in public space.
Right. He was very upset when the feds told him that he could no longer have the Ten Commandments posted.
Yeah.
A big statue. And was he the guy who was offended by Lady Liberty's bare nipple, or was that somebody?
That was Ashcroft.
That was Ashcroft.
Or as Jello Biafra says, Ashcrack.
Yeah. So my apologies to the judge. I did get that one wrong. But yeah, so yeah, he wrote a memo 2-3 weeks ago. Claiming that, first of all, there was a massive amount of confusion in the state of Alabama at the judicial level as to whether or not marriage licenses should be issued. And apparently it was him and three other guys.
I was going to say, I'm really not quite sure how it's confusing. Give them a license is pretty much give them a license, but...
The Supreme Court is, in fact, the supreme law of the land, despite efforts to make it something else.
Well, and I mean, there are definitely times I would like to believe that they're not, like Citizens United, Hobby Lobby, but we're all stuck with what we get.
Right, and that's the whole point, is that the Supreme Court, you know, ultimately the fate of humanity in the United States is judged by 9 humans. So, you know, it's imperfect at best. Imperfect at best.
Yeah.
But
in this case, they made the right call.
In this case, they made the call that a vast majority of Americans support.
The human call.
Right. And the ones that don't, well, you're going to die anyway. Because it still comes back down, and I would say this to Judge Moore and anybody else, it still comes down to this. Does gay marriage impact you? If the answer is yes, it's because you're gay.
Right.
And if you're not gay, then it doesn't impact you. It does not impact you. Because marriage is not a religious institution. It is a legal one. End of discussion.
Well, so I would say I would add on to the end of the discussion, though. So quite sadly, Alaska was ahead of the curve. And not quite sadly that we were ahead of the curve, but we actually legalized marriage equality before the state or the U.S. Supreme Court decision. However, there are 3 legislators in the current session of the Alaska legislature who have introduced an idea, who have introduced a bill, actually, that will allow individuals to deny goods and services for marriages in Alaska. So this is kind of Alaska's version of a RFRA. I want to call these guys out. So it's Senator Pete, I don't know if I'm going to say his last name right, last name properly, Michici. He's from Soldotna. Dave Talacaro, he's from Healy. Sorry, 2 legislators, not 3. But these guys are from some pretty conservative areas in Alaska. And Alaska's very conservative. So saying that they're from the more conservative areas is saying quite a bit. Anyway, what they're basically saying is that we can deny, we can say, I'm not going to be your florist, I'm not going to be your baker, and we can do that with impunity.
Yeah, fuck you. You can't do that.
You know, and the thing that really kind of bugged me when I saw this thing come through is that right now, because of where oil and gas prices are, and I got to tell you, as someone who's at the pump, filling up my car, it's kind of nice to have gas prices below, but I also talk to people on a daily basis who work in the oil and gas industry, and they're really hurting. And Alaska right now is hemorrhaging about $400,000 a day just because of that issue. And so we've got these assholes who think they need to take up legislative time with stuff like this.
Well, it's because this is easy. You don't have to do anything about it.
It's low-hanging fruit, right.
Yeah. And that's the thing that is most disgusting, right, is that, as to your point, you know, you got real issues that maybe should be addressed, and instead we're going to do this because it is low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
The thing is that Alaska's conservative, but it's mostly libertarian, right? Or it's got a strong libertarian bent to
it. I would say a strong libertarian streak, yes.
Yeah.
Although I have my issues with that, too.
Sure, but, you know, the thing with the libertarians is that they don't
want to live and let live.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Unless you pass a law that says that they have to help somebody and then forget it.
Yeah, then fuck you. Totally willing to do that. Let the market rule whether or not I'm going to help you. But if you tell me I got to help you, fuck you.
Right.
God bless.
So, you know, we said it last time. I think it's accurate this time. I think the last bastion of the people who are trying to fight marriage equality is going to be the RFRA.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is Alaska's own little version of one of those. So,
and mostly sponsored by old white pissed off dudes who are right. gonna die.
Right. And so. And I've got a news flash for everybody. We're all gonna die.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's kind of just part of taking life or taking birth as a human, right? Eventually we're all gonna die.
See episode 4 and 5. All right, so what did we talk about after the big gay rainbow and unicorn episode?
Episode 14 was Bolshaya Gora. So that's where we got totally distracted about Denali.
Big fucking mouth.
I think it was supposed to actually be our Ted Cruz episode, and it did eventually kind of touch on Ted Cruz, but we spent an awful lot of time cracking up about people losing their shit because Denali was finally officially named Denali and not Mount McKinley.
And to be clear, it's just that the name Denali predates the name McKinley by quite a lot. So
right.
It makes it makes more sense that that's what it's called. But I think what's even more funny, though, is like how quickly that one just kind of...
You're right. Actually, out. I mean, I think probably the biggest flap that it got was our lengthy conversation about Bolshaya Gora.
Right. And I was like, what's the name of that thing? Big Mountain. Okay. Yeah, because I mean, I think by the time we actually posted the episode, that issue was
it had fizzled out. Yeah.
Right. Because it was stupid. It was absolutely stupid, as is what Ted Cruz believes.
I was going to say, so here's a place for us to talk about Ted Cruz a little bit. And I do have
He's
to say...
He's not a citizen.
Well, you know, but we did Except already elect a non-citizen twice. So you can't get him on that one, man.
Because we know our listeners know this. But if you are born to an American citizen, you are a natural American citizen.
Regardless of where you were born.
Physically, yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, Ted Cruz's mom was an American citizen. Or is an American citizen, and therefore Ted Cruz is in fact qualified under the Constitution.
I was going to say loosely. President. We're using that word loosely. Qualified to be president.
Strictly by the Constitution. Right? I mean, you know, by that I am, you are, you know, most of us are, in fact, qualified to be president according to the Constitution.
I do have to say the recent Ted Cruz flap about New York values.
Oh, God, right?
That's been pretty funny. And I you know, for the first time, I appreciate Donald Trump. He actually got appropriately schooled by Donald Trump.
So has anybody decided what that really is code for?
So, you know, I listened to some analysis on the Young Turks. And of course, and I think they're pretty right on. It's code for liberal, supports gay marriage, voting for either Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. You know, it's pretty much code for not a white male Republican.
Yeah, I mean, I know Aaron Sorkin takes it a step further, and it's liberal, liberal Jewish.
Yeah. I did hear some of that flap as well.
I shouldn't say that he takes it much further. He defines it much further.
And, you know, there may well be some anti-Semitism in it as well. I mean, I think it's just generally speaking, anybody who's not Ted Cruz or who does not share all of Ted Cruz's values.
Who's not Ted Cruz?
Dot, dot, dot.
God. A wealthy Canadian immigrant. Oh, I'm sorry. No, American.
Only by virtue of dual citizenship.
The guy's an asshole.
He makes me
sick every time he opens his mouth.
So the asshole who makes you sick, though, every time he opens his mouth, I will point out, is right now neck and neck with Trump in Iowa.
Right, but again, it's a long way to the end of it, and a lot has to do with the actual mechanics of the Republican primary system.
And we talked about that.
You know, so I think we're going to need to wait and see a little bit to see how the dust starts to settle. My guess is, honestly, looking at everything, I would say Rubio is probably who ends up as the candidate at this point. Ugh. Bush appears to be, you know, dead and buried.
We obviously need to do a Rubio episode. I agree with you that Bush is dead and buried.
Huckabee.
Can't even make it to the grown-up table.
Right. Do they still have a junior table? I know they're down to 7 people at the adult table.
They do, and actually...
Oh, man, that's embarrassing, right? Because they've actually eliminated people from the adult table.
Right.
And they're still not letting these kids up.
So Rand Paul actually did not meet criteria to be at the grown-ups table for this most recent debate, and he said, fuck it, I'm not going to any of the debates. I'm just, if you're not going to let me be at the adult table, I'm not showing up. And so that's what Rand Paul did.
And actually, it's the smart move.
I think it was like Huckabee and Santorum, and I don't know, maybe Fiorina at the kids' table.
Fiorina. By the way, Santorum, somebody did this. Apparently, they've been working at it hard enough that when you Google Santorum, the first thing that comes up is no longer the definition as set forth by Dan Savage.
Oh, so well, we got to work on that, guys.
Yeah. Everybody, right now, stop what you're doing. Google Rick Santorum.
And I'm just going to help you out one more time. Santorum.
And pick the frothy mix of anal lube and fecal matter.
Because that just somehow seems appropriate.
But yeah, so you know, the good news is that Santorum's completely.
Yeah, and you know, so interestingly, and I think this is appropriate. It's apropos to what you were saying. Didn't Santorum win Iowa last time around?
Yeah, I want to say that he did.
So whoever wins Iowa, you know,
doesn't mean anything, especially in the Republican primary. Doesn't mean this is the thing, right? So this is because this is how it always goes. If you're expected to win. And you win, everybody just goes, yeah, well, you know, the guy who wins doesn't always win anything else. If you are expected to win and you don't win, then everybody talks about, maybe this guy's not the guy.
Right.
And if you win and you were expected to win, but you don't win by some preconceived notion of a big enough margin, people start to talk about whether or not you've got what it takes.
So you know, basically, if the Donald A doesn't win or B doesn't get a big enough margin, this could be bad for the Donald.
It could be, absolutely. Or it could be nothing, right? That's the other thing, right? because the only guys who make less sense than political commentators are sports commentators. with the notable exception of the guys on Real Sports. Frank DeFord, I love you.
Oh, yeah. But he does an awesome piece on NPR. I'm not familiar with him from Real Sports, but I often hear his commentary on NPR, and I love him.
But the rest of the guys who make a living on the sports commentary thing, wow. I mean, you guys are more useless than Diane and I are with this podcast. I'm just going to throw it out there.
But they do, unfortunately, have better editors.
And make way more money off of it than we do. Well, all right. So Ted Cruz. Yeah. So the other thing, though, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, Ted Cruz, obviously his numbers came up as Ben Carson's numbers plummeted.
Yes.
As Ben Carson was caught in that black hole that is 2015.
Yes. And I think is going to stay there based on his loss of campaign staff, but
We'll get to him in a minute. What was next after Bolshoi Agora, which, by the way, Russian for Big Mountain, otherwise known as Denali, which is native Alaskan for Big Mountain.
And this was also the episode in which, after, 24 years of friendship, Todd finally realized that I can speak a little bit of Russian.
Holy shit. Why did we never... I can't imagine how I came through... Got out of the army, having gone through the Russian school and everything, and we were in college. I mean, obviously, in completely different tracks and stuff, but you know, well connected in college and everything. I'm just amazed that it never came up that either one of us spoke Russian.
I guess we just had other shit on our minds.
Oh, that was hilarious. It's still hilarious.
All right, so episode 15, truly the lost episode. I'm actually staring at my half of the track, which is still poised, hopefully, on my desktop, waiting for your half of the track. And that was the Laboreal Day episode. So the reason that I really wanted to do that episode is I basically just had this giant rant about how Memorial Day and Labor Day are two separate holidays.
Right.
Because I had somebody post on my Facebook page that, you know, if you're not honoring dead soldiers on Labor Day, you're a bad person. And I was like, excuse me, Labor Day is about the labor movement. It's about unions. It's about workers. It's not fucking Memorial Day.
Yeah,
so that was pretty much the Laboreal Day episode.
Yes, the general stupidity of Facebook feeds.
Right. My own included sometimes. I mean, it is what it is, right? But, yeah. You don't post pictures of tributes to fallen soldiers on my Facebook feed on Memorial Day, or on Labor Day. You can do it on Memorial Day. You can get away with it. Labor Day, no.
You can do it on Labor Day, too, but just be clear that you're not doing it because it's Labor Day.
Right. While we're at it... While we're kicking people's asses over Facebook, so I actually had one of my conservative friends post a "but what about Benghazi" argument on my Facebook page this week.
Well, I would just say go see 13 Hours and it'll solve all your questions.
Well, you know, in addition to posting this argument, he also posted a picture of dead Chris Stevens being dragged out of his residence in Benghazi. And I said, you do that one more time, you are off my Facebook page forever. I don't want to turn Facebook into a place where I'm only friends with people who share my beliefs. But if you post a dead politician, if you post a dead soldier, if you post a dead reporter, pictures of them dead on my Facebook page, your ass is out of here. So disrespectful.
The whole Benghazi thing is just such a fucking...
It's such a distraction. It's such a distraction. But to carry it even further and to be plastering social media with pictures of someone's corpse...
Right.
Totally inappropriate. Yeah. And I'm like the queen of inappropriate, so, you know... That's just a bridge too far even for me. But anyway, onward and upward, or at least onward. So we talked about brains in episode 16, which is right around Halloween. So we thought it was perfect timing. And we specifically talked about traumatic brain injuries, Alzheimer's, and migraines.
And unfortunately, all three of the people that we were referencing in that still are suffering from Alzheimer's, TBIs, and migraines.
Right. to give a quick update on me, because, you know, it's all about me. I'm kind of in a place where I am still having some residual stuff as a result of the, I'm calling it a high velocity unintentional dismount from my horse last summer. In which I was helmeted, in case anybody doesn't know. And I kind of think that this might be it. I think this might be as good as it gets, but we'll see. Really sick of the whole medical industry, healthcare industry, myself included, after my little tour through the healthcare industry. So, have a lot more empathy for people as far as that whole trip goes.
Yep.
Sounds like your stepdad's still not doing all that great.
He has good days and bad days, but what we call a good day and what we call a bad day is definitely changing.
Yeah. And then our friend with the migraines. Any help? Any better?
We haven't talked about it for a while. Other than, you know, I know she continues to see her doctor and they do what they can.
And they're still trying. Yeah.
I can say that from a professional standpoint, I know that she hasn't missed as many days lately from migraines.
That's good.
Yeah, so...
That bodes well.
I'm very encouraged by that. The sports episode with the brain episode.
We were totally just, on the same wavelength.
No, I guarantee you we're not.
Oh, okay. You go then, you go.
Because I was watching, a playoff game today. And during halftime, they had Terry Bradshaw as one of the commentators on Fox. And I got to say that I'm starting to suspect that, you know, all the hits in his age and everything are starting to kind of catch up to him.
Well, and so I'm going to take it a little further and say I am very much interested in watching Concussion, which is the movie about traumatic brain injuries in the NFL. And, you know, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right, which is super sad.
It's a dangerous sport at best, and we've done a bunch on the NFL and how much we're upset with them. So.
Well, and what I will say in general is that we are learning so much more about the brain. We're learning so much more about injuries to the brain. Unfortunately, a lot of this is coming either from the theater of war or it's coming from things like the NFL. But we're learning that even a small insult, and I say small in air quotes, to brain tissue is not necessarily small in terms of ramifications. So.
Right. You know, I mean, almost all of us have given ourselves a concussion once or twice.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, but yeah, repeated and often and at high velocity.
Yep.
All of these things start to really become a problem, you know, cause yeah, I know I've knocked myself on my own ass two or three times in my life, right?
And I'm not laughing, but I am, you know? I mean, it's kind of like, I did mine to myself. It's not like anybody helped me.
Right. You know? But yeah, yeah. You know, if you slip and fall on ice, right? Wham, you're going to ring your bell. You're going to taste metal in your mouth.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, yeah, trust me, you probably just gave yourself a concussion.
And you know, the thing is, and I really see this a lot with younger people, but I see it a little bit in my middle-aged to elderly patients as well. You think you're not hurting yourself, but that stuff does build up. It's not right. Like you can have one injury and recover fully and never have any ramifications. It's cumulative.
Right.
So I would just say, when in doubt, get it checked out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, I gotta say, like, when, you know, the few times I've done it to myself, it was much, much younger, and it never would have occurred to me then.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm hoping that we have a better, enough of an understanding now that people might be more likely to follow up on it. Yeah. We've got a long ways to go, though. We definitely do.
Absolutely. All right, so after...
After Brains was, fuck the media! And I still, yeah. I can't say that I've changed my mind a whole lot.
What were you, was this the Bernie, lack of coverage on Bernie?
Yeah, so I was pretty angry about that. You know, I've got to say that it's still, they're still falling on their faces.
Oh, it's very obvious that the Clinton campaign has spent years and years grooming the media for this. And,
Benghazi. Okay. Sorry.
It's clear that the Republicans continue to do things like Benghazi. Somebody please tell me why Michael Bay felt like he needed to make a movie. And then the clown car, of course, gets the most attention, period. Because, and I wish the media would be more responsible, but I can't really blame them. I mean, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and the rest of these idiots just make their job so easy, right? Hey, what do you want us to do? We're going to stand here, and we're going to listen to your dumb ass, and we're going to say what you said. And, wow. And we're going to sell newspapers and slots on the 6 o'clock news and fill up the 24-hour news cycle, which, by God, we do not need a 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, too, and I think that's true. I mean, I think all it does is create more anxiety, and it takes something that would be a minor story and blows it into something that's a huge story.
Yeah.
I will say, so I have to thank the media in one place. So I don't know how much you've been watching in terms of the coverage about the water crisis in Flint.
Just a little bit.
So I have to thank Rachel Maddow, because she's the person who really broke it, and she's really been staying on top of it. She's the reason that there is now a national attention to the lead poisoning and to the cases of Legionnaire's disease in Flint, Michigan.
Good.
So, good. And she's still staying on top of it.
It's ridiculous that we actually have to get to the point of having media attention to get action there. Because, I mean, this has been going on for a couple of years now.
Yeah, so for people who don't know or who haven't been paying attention, I would really recommend that they go back and take a look at Rachel's coverage. But basically what happened is the state of Michigan decided that they would save some money, and instead of sending water from Detroit, Michigan to Flint, they decided that they would start getting water from the river adjacent to Flint, Michigan, or running through Flint, Michigan. I don't know the geography super well. But what they did is they didn't take into account that this raw river water would degrade all of the old pipes. And it degraded all of the old pipes and therefore created high levels of lead. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of people exposed to toxic levels of lead in their water.
Right. And going back to the Brains episode, lead poisoning you do not recover from.
Right. Right. I mean, we're talking years and years of remediation and support, largely for the young kids and infants who were exposed. Right. But even now, even with the national attention, there's still a lack of healthy water in Flint, and there's still situations where people are continuing to be exposed because they don't have access to clean water. Yeah. And the other thing that happened is they've discovered that there have been outbreaks of Legionnaire's disease that they are linking to the exposure to river water as well.
And all right, so for the non-medical, including myself, what is Legionnaire's disease?
So, you know, I got to be honest with you. I don't know tons about it because it's not something that you see on a regular basis.
In Alaska.
Unless you're working on, like, a large tour boat or dealing with a large hotel. But my understanding is that it's actually a respiratory ailment. It's a type of a pneumonia. And it can be devastating and or fatal to people who are frail or people who are immune compromised. And it sounds like they have linked at least 10 deaths to this decision to reroute Flint's source of drinking water.
Outstanding. Legionnaire's disease, also known as some French pronunciation, or Legion fever, is a form of atypical pneumonia caused by the Legionella bacteria. Transmission, inhalation of aerosolized water and or soil contaminated with the bacteria. It's not airborne. Okay, so it makes sense.
People are getting contaminated by this basically poorly or untreated river water.
Yeah, symbiotically present in aquatic-borne amoeba. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's bad water.
Yeah, so, and, you know, while the Obama administration finally signed some paperwork over the last couple of days to declare Flint a federal emergency, we're still talking about people who are not getting the degree of assistance that they should. I mean, we're talking about U.S. citizens getting poisoned and getting pneumonia from their drinking water because of decisions that were made by their elected officials.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking sad. So, from fuck the media to thank the media, I have to give props to Rachel Maddow for making this an issue of public attention. All right. So, yay, Rachel.
Yep.
Episode 18, all things, all Trump all the time.
Unfortunately, it's still all Trump all the time.
Yeah, so, you know, I just want to say a couple of the things. I want to bring up a couple of recent things. This man is representing our Republican Party, and things are still happening in his rallies, like a Muslim woman who stood up in her headscarf to silently protest. She didn't say a thing. She got thrown out of his rally.
Yep.
A Black Lives Matter protester was beaten severely.
Beaten. That's the key thing. Beaten.
Right. And people in the Trump audience were supporting beating this guy. And I mean, I think there was even some advocacy to do more than beat this guy. I think there were people who were actually trying to kill this guy. There was another rally. This one was on the 7th of January. A protester was thrown out into freezing temperatures, into freezing weather, but they confiscated his cold weather gear, his coat, before they threw him out into the cold. So this is the guy who is representing the Republican Party right now, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. So, guys, do yourselves a favor. Vote for Bernie.
Yeah, really. Todd is right. I think we're going to be talking about the Bernie Sanders Republicans, and I hope like hell it's true, you know?
The biggest thing with Trump, for all of us who are opposed to him, is that he just gets so tiresome. You know, that it's like, you know, oh, well, what did Trump do today? What did Trump do yesterday, right? It's just like...
It's the same thing,
and... You know, yeah, he's got the hardcore 30% that'll going to support him till, you know, whatever happens. But I remain confident that he's not going to be the next president.
I completely hope you're right.
Yeah, fuck that guy too.
And the hair that crawled up on his head. Yep. Okay, so
Ben... America, why would you vote for a guy who has to even lie about his hair? I mean, and it's just, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
about comb overs or anything, yeah. Or, you know, or even, but it's just like, dude, this is so, so bad a comb over that you're fooling nobody, but you want us to all respect you. I don't get it. Because, like, if you had any respect for yourself, you wouldn't have this problem.
He's just so disgusting on so many levels.
And apparently he's afraid of women being able to take a pee.
Did we talk about that? I think we talked about that a little bit with the H's for Haters episode. But, yeah, the fact that he's scared of women's urinary tract... just women's urinary tracts is really there. Pretty astonishing.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up.
Yeah. So,
all right, let's
anything
get
else to say about Trump?
Let's get off of this guy.
All right. So, 19, Ben Carson believes. So, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit, but he is crashing and burning, thank God.
Because of a multi-level fast media conspiracy.
I'm sure he is right. He is the conspiracy guy, you know?
No, I just, you know, when you say the stupid things that you said, and people actually take the time to read the stupid things that you said, people realize that you're stupid. I mean, it's just really that simple, right? You know, I believe that the pyramids are grain silos. Okay, that's pretty stupid. I tried to kill my friend with a knife, but I was stopped by his belt buckle. That's pretty stupid.
I don't know. I could almost buy the belt buckle.
Come on.
It was a pretty big damn belt buckle.
Okay. I tried to beat my mother to death.
But God stopped me.
Right. Okay.
So here's my thing, though. And this is kind of going back to Trump and the All Trump All the Time episode. How can people sell off or discount Ben Carson and not discount Donald Trump? I don't get it.
Well, because first of all, Trump is saying offensive things, but not stupid things. Trump didn't say that he tried to stab somebody and was thwarted by a belt buckle.
Yeah.
Trump didn't say that I believe that the pyramids are grain silos. You know,
and we haven't seen his art collection, but Trump apparently doesn't have a picture of Jesus putting his hand on Trump's shoulder.
Oh my God. Or misspelling Proverbs, right?
Right.
As part of the art collection. That just cracked me up. But yeah, the problem with Ben Carson and the problem with Ben Carson is that Ben Carson is probably crazy. And as soon as people started actually listening to him and reading him, everybody kind of went, yeah, he's probably crazy. We're done. You know, his campaign staff figured that out.
Yeah. In fact, so here's something funny. There were people who were paid staffers. And I've got to be honest, can't remember if I heard this on Young Turks or Rachel Maddow, but paid staffers who quit their paid positions to go volunteer for another candidate, another Republican candidate, because they were so done with Ben Carson.
Well, and that makes total sense. Having worked on campaigns once or twice, yeah, I can totally, you know, once it becomes apparent that your candidate is a loser, you better get off that train.
Yeah, you better bail.
If you want to have a job later. Yeah, Carson is just crazy, and I just want to say that, you know, it was because of our in-depth reporting.
Well, and I do want to say, you called it. You said that he was going to be out of the race. You called it a little early. You were thinking by Thanksgiving, so it's taken a little longer, but you got it.
Yeah. And I would say by Thanksgiving, everybody but Carson knew he was out of the race.
Right. And those couple of paid position campaign aides who kind of held in there a little bit longer for the paycheck.
Right. Well, you know, Christmas was approaching, right? You got to be able to buy presents.
You do, man. You do.
So, yeah, goodbye, Ben. We hardly knew you.
Thank God. Because what we knew was scary enough.
Yeah. Now, I mean, technically, I guess he's still at the adult table.
Technically, he is, although the numbers that I pulled up when we were first putting this episode together. So Trump was at 30% in New Hampshire, and... Ben Carson did not even get named because he was below 5%.
Yeah.
And he was, let's see, In Iowa, Cruz is at 28%, Trump's at 24%, Ben Carson's at 11%.
Yeah, and it's very obvious, though, that Ted Cruz has been the beneficiary of the
Ben Carson crash and burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, and that doesn't really surprise me because Cruz says a lot of things similar to Carson.
When, Marco, when? When will be your turn?
All right. Anyway, so that's what Ben Carson believes, and his belief is his business, and his problem was he tried to make it our business.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So our last episode that was posted was the Nothing Goes Well with Terror episode. And
yeah.
I don't really have much of an update.
No, I just, unfortunately, we're continuing to run scared.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit earlier about the standoff in Oregon, trying to understand how that differs from, you know, some of the other stuff that is clearly terrorism. I do think that, yeah, we don't have our definitions worked out really well, because I do think the armed occupation of a federal building should be considered a terrorist act under any circumstances.
Absolutely.
But yeah, and the whole world's getting a little freakier every week about this stuff, right? Because there were problems in the last week in several European countries and stuff related to mad bombers and stuff.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. It will continue, but the best thing we can do is honor the victims, ignore the perpetrators on the media level.
Yeah.
You know, continue to use the rule of law, which is more than enough, to arrest and try and convict these people. We do not need special cases, special prosecutors or special courts to handle this stuff. We don't need Guantanamo Bay, you know, and we need to stop talking about it as a war on terror and just start talking about it as law enforcement.
And we cannot buy into this belief that, I don't know, we just can't buy into the belief that this is our, I'm not finding the right words, but
this is not the new normal.
Yeah, I mean, it is and it isn't. You know, I mean, yeah, it is in that if you wake up in Israel, this is your reality every day. You know, if you wake up in Palestine, this is your reality every day. But are we going to have a San Bernardino every day? No. Are we going to have a 9/11 every day? No. And we have got to stop acting like we're going to. And we've got to stop demonizing large swaths of people because of events like that.
Right.
You know, and we talked about it, and Nothing Goes Well with Terror, and I'm going to say it again. We have also got to hold our allies in the Middle East responsible and accountable.
Right.
Saudi Arabia, looking at you once again.
Totally looking at you. And especially because you're in trouble. Because oil prices are, you think Alaska's got trouble right now because of oil. Saudi Arabia's in big trouble.
I'm sure.
Would have helped you guys is if all along you'd been using all that money to better the lives of all the Saudis and not just a few of them.
Right.
Because, yeah, unfortunately, those chickens may be coming home to roost.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not okay with it. That nation being thrown into war and
into turmoil. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I would be okay with that nation being held accountable. I'm not okay with that becoming the next Syria.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely, but it wouldn't surprise anybody if it did. Yay, and on that happy note.
So I didn't prep, and by the way, I don't have a Fuck That Guy, but I do think we need to bring Fuck That Guy back the next time we record.
Yeah, although I'm pretty sure we just fucked five or six guys.
It was just one long episode of Fuck That Guy.
we Hate Everyone edition.
I do have another Neil Gaiman wish for the new year for people.
Excellent.
So he said, I believe this was in 2012. No, sorry, it was 2014. that he was not necessarily going to write another New Year's wish because he had written several. But then he says, I meant and mean them all. I wasn't going to write a new one this year, but be kind to yourself in the year ahead. Remember to forgive yourself and forgive others. It's too easy to be outraged these days. So much harder to change things, to reach out, to understand. Try to make your time matter. Minutes and hours and days and weeks can blow away like dead leaves with nothing to show but the time you spent not ever doing things or the time you spent waiting to begin. Meet new people and talk to them. Make new things and show them to people who might enjoy them. Hug too much, smile too much, and when you can, love.
Absolutely.
Yep. So on that note, everybody, that's 2015 in the rear view, and we're looking forward to a good 2016.
Excellent.
Todd just gave me an editing lesson, so be kind when you listen to the upcoming episodes.
Right.
And everybody take care.